found the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone, and when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. But he died alone for you and me.
Amen, amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Praise God that he did die for sinners. Paul said he was the chief. I don't know. He didn't walk with me a whole lot. You know, that's the way we ought to look at ourselves. Chiefest of sinners. We know ourselves better than anyone. And that's what Paul saw himself as. He said, "Boy, nobody's done anything worse than what I have." You ever ask yourself that question? "Boy, nobody's done as bad as I am." Everybody's probably thought about that at one time in their life. And yet one drop of blood could save and forgive the sins of the entire world. And listen, Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." That's the way he saw himself. You know, if we ever see ourselves that we're beyond certain things, it won't be long. You'll be chief. Yeah, it won't be too long that we'll find ourselves in a situation that we look back on and think, "Boy, I kind of wish I would have thought the other way about this." Take your Bible, if you would, Psalm 144, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 144. We're going to continue on in our studies tonight about the Savior and His sheep. I want to speak to you one more time on the area of grooming, the grooming process of sheep. Now, for sake of time, not going to go back and rehearse what we've already learned, but we do know that the grooming process of sheep is very, very important to the health of sheep and to the appearance of sheep. And they need to go through the grooming process. And we've talked about several things. I want to draw your attention and make an application tonight to this last area of the grooming process, the shearing process that takes place and is needful to take place in sheep. 144, verse number 9. Would you stand with me? Psalm 144, verse number 9. The psalmist says, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword." Now David is beginning to relay some experiences here, and he's going to start making some application here in just a moment. Look what he said. He said, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I want you to listen to verse 13. He says that our garners or our granaries or our storehouses may be full, affording all manner of store. Now I want you to notice this. He makes an application. He says, and that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Now listen to verse 15. He's making that application back to the sheep. He said, happy is that people. What people are happy? Not the complaining people. It's the people talked about, the sheep talked about in verse number 13 and the previous verses there. He says the sheep that bring forth thousands and ten thousands, in other words, that produce, that have a product to offer. And he says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Listen, you know the happiest sheep are producing sheep. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't have anything to offer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have a lot to offer God. And you have a lot to offer other people as well. Have you noticed about sheep that almost everything about them tends to giving? Almost everything about them has the tendency in the giving area. And I want to talk to you tonight about the grooming process, shearing, because out of all the things that sheep offer, their wool may be the most valuable part of what they have to offer as their commodity. And I want to speak to you about the shearing process. Father, would you bless us now that as we learn tonight? Thank you for the privilege of what we've had to learn over the last few several weeks. And we're grateful for all that you've taught us, the applications that have been made. Would you help us tonight to learn once again? In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Now, church, I want to say this quickly. There's a big difference between shearing sheep and skinning sheep. Big difference. You see, shearing sheep is a productive process. Skinning sheep is a very unproductive process because it results in death. Now, I want to say this to you. A shepherd who confuses the two soon will not have a flock to lead. The shepherd has to understand there's a difference between shearing and skinning. And unfortunately, too many shepherds confuse the two. Listen, a shepherd's here is to help the flock, to grow the flock, to help them to mature, not to kill them, not to hang them up and skin them. The process that needs to take place is a shearing process. Now, however, in the shearing process, it is necessary ever so often for the benefit of the sheep, whether the sheep realize it or not. The shearing process has to take place because of some specific things that are essential to the sheep. Let me give you a few of them. First of all, shearing is beneficial to the health of the sheep. Sometimes sheep, as we've learned, that are they're very susceptible to things like sores. And they're very susceptible to parasites. And many times the thick wool hides all of this. And you cannot tell the condition of a sheep sometimes because of their wool. So they will be sheared. The wool will be taken off to help in that process. Now sometimes the shearing process is not very fun for the shepherd or the sheep. It's not a fun process. But sometimes it's necessary for the health of the sheep, for the sheep to grow, for them to expand. It's kind of like during those of you that are gardeners and that ladies, those of you that work out in your yard and stuff, there's a time to prune and there's a time not to prune. And if you prune at the wrong time, you can kill the plant, right? And there's a time that all of this needs to take place. We'll talk about that in a minute. But shearing helps expose the problems that sheep experience. Now, I want to say this. In my young Christian life, shortly after I got saved, I didn't see a lot of the problems that I had. But I found out that through preaching and teaching and the shearing process that took place, it began to expose a lot of my faults and a lot of my weaknesses. Now, the thing about it is, as a sheep, I could have resisted or rebelled against the shearing process, and I probably wouldn't even be alive today. But I submitted myself to it because I knew it was for my good. Now, it don't always feel good, but it is for my good. And I found out it helped my spiritual health. It helped me to grow. It helped me to build. Listen now, it helped me to establish convictions. It helped me to understand that I actually have a copy of the Word of God in my hand that's reliable for all faith and practice in the Christian faith. Where did I get that? I got that from the shearing process. It was a healthy process to go through. Well, I also found out that shearing has its benefits in health, but it also has its social benefits. Remember, we learned that one of the things that sheep can't do is if they fall over or there's a casting process, they can't get up on their own if they fall wrong. There's a certain way they lay down. There's a certain way they get up. And many times, what causes the casting process is no shearing. Do you know that the average sheep carries 8 to 10 pounds of wool? I don't know about you, but let me ask you this. If you carried a backpack of 8 to 10 pounds on your back all day, every day, wouldn't you get tired? Wouldn't you feel like, man alive, there's a lot of weight here. And by the way, if you ever get off balance and that weight ever shifts, you're probably going to go over. It's going to pull you down. Well, it's the same thing with sheep. That's one of the reasons that they have to shear them is for the social benefits. Listen to me. Too long between shearings is not good for the sheep. If there's not a shearing process that takes place on a regular basis for health benefits and social benefits, then many times there's sheep that tend to have the tendency to fall over and over and over to what Paul described as sins that so easily beset you. And so the shearing process has to take place for social benefits. And then I think probably the most obvious one is for the reproductive benefits. You see, shearing stimulates new growth, better wool, and by the way, it's not the most enjoyable thing for sheep, but it is one of the most productive things for sheep. Now, let me back up and say again, some of you are thinking about skinning. We're not talking about skinning here. We're talking about shearing. We're talking about taking the commodity that which may be one of the most valuable, expensive commodities a sheep has to offer is their wool. And taking that and using that as a benefit. As I mentioned earlier, almost everything about sheep surrounds giving. They give birth, they give wool, they give food. Almost everything about them is giving. Now does it making more sense why the Lord compared us to sheep? Because we're supposed to be giving people. When we come to church, we should never come to see what can I get as much as what can I give. We should never reach a place of what has the church done for me as much as we should say, what can I do for my church? What has God done for me? We ought to be saying, what have I done for my God? It ought to be sheep or a giving creature. Almost everything about them is giving. Well, shearing's the process of helping sheep remove that byproduct for the benefit, listen now, of others. You see, wool is a very durable material sought for its toughness and quality. And we'll look at it in just a moment. I want you to take your Bible and go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2 with me for just a moment. Go to Philippians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to say this. Shearing sheep for their wool is not just for the benefit of the sheep, but also for the profit of others as well. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to look down, if you would, with me to verse number... I tell you what, we'll just read verse number 1 as well, include that. Philippians 2, verse number 1. If, Paul says, there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies... Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now listen to verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I want to make a few applications to the byproduct of wool and its use when it comes down to a spiritual application in a Christian's life. I want you to take your Bible, go to Proverbs 18. You're going to need your Bible tonight because I want to make several applications to the benefits of wool, which is, I believe, the most expensive commodity that a sheep has. Now, the farmers call it a house on back because it's everything that the sheep is just about is contained within the wool, the expensive commodity that it has to offer. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24, I want to give you some spiritual benefits of wool. First of all, I want to say this. Wool can be of use to others over a very long period of time. Wool is very durable. For instance, when I go to the store, the men's suit store, and I look for suits, I'm looking for wool suits. The suit that I have on is a wool suit. And I'll tell you why I buy wool suits, because they're durable. They last a while. They don't wear out as much. You see, wool can be of use to others over a very long period of time. Now, let me make an application. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you want to realize that one of the things that's durable in the Christian life is good Christian friendship? One of the things that we need outside the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our surrender to Him, our relationship with Him, we need good friends. And friendships are durable. Friendships can last a long period of time. Listen, can I say this to you, sheep of the flock? It's one of the greatest commodities in you that you have to offer is a friendship to someone. Wool is very, very durable. You've heard me say many times that people will live and die and have less than 5 true friends in their entire lifetime. You know, I challenged that one time when I heard a preacher say that, and I began to think, and I found out that he's pretty much right. You say, no, I got hundreds of friends. I didn't say hundreds of just friends. I said true friends. I'm talking about people that you can go to, that you can share your heart with, and you know it's going to be all confidential. We're talking about people that will help you when you sink in the quicksands of life, that they will help you out of the quicksands of life, that they will render aid to you to come and assist you and not take you and shove you away. You see, wool can be used to others over a long period of time. And can I say, friendships can last a long, long time if they're developed in a Christian atmosphere. Well, the second thing I found out about wool is an insulator. Wool is an insulator. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Let me tell you one of the reasons I buy wool suits. Because wool suits, not only do they keep me somewhat comfortable in the winter, they also, because it's an insulator, they can also keep me somewhat cool in the summer. You say, oh no, preacher, wool is hot. You don't want to wear wool. Well, the thing about it is, wool is an insulator. It doesn't trap heat. You ever wonder why sheep can survive with all that wool on in hot temperatures? It's because their wool allows the air to pass through. It's an insulator. You say, where are we going with this, preacher? Take your Bible, go to Galatians 6. Let me show you something here. A byproduct of a Christian. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Listen to this. I said wool is an insulator so we can keep an even temperature. Listen to what it says, Galatians 6. Brethren, that's sheep, right? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, durable, those that are not willing to hold someone to something but are willing to help someone. He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, part of that great wool commodity that comes with it is not just that it is of use to others for a long period of time, but it's an insulator. Listen to me, church. As a child of God, we ought to be insulators. We ought to help people in their time of need. We ought to help them to grow instead of when someone falls or goes through a difficult time to hold them or push them away. We ought to try to help people be restored. Well, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you something else I learned about wool. Wool is a natural, is naturally fire resistant. Now this one's what blew me away. You know that today they are actually making insulation for homes out of wool and blowing it in the homes today because of the fire resistance that it has? Listen, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, listen to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Scoot over, if you would, to verse 16. He said, above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You see, that wool has not only value for others, it also has value for the sheep itself. If there's a protecting agent there. And today, what I'm trying to say here, church, is this, is that wool has a natural fire resistant process to it. And what we've got to be to understand is that, folks, listen, Satan is after you and I. He wants to burn down your home, your family, your life, your Christianity. And we have these things available to us. It's a product. You say, how's it produced, preacher? How about the Holy Spirit? Remember we've talked about that God has given us that potential energy. It's just that we never put it to practice. We never, by the will of man, draw it out and put it to practice and apply it. You see, wool is a natural fire resistant. Let me tell you something else. Go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Wool is desirable for its ability to felt. You say, what's felting, preacher? That's when all of the hair particles of the wool intertwine with one another. And you know what it makes it? It makes it so durable, it makes it very difficult to tear. That's the reason, once again, that in the day when there were like polyester suits, and even today there are suits that are made of 50% polyester, 50% wool, but you look for 100% wool, you're going to find the price goes up. You know why? Because of its durability. Because of its felting process. Because of it can endure some things. Look, if you would, are you there in Proverbs 24? I'm not. Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. The scripture says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now folks, wool has a durability to it. And it's interlocking, the interlocking process of all of its fibers makes it tear resistant. This, what I'm saying is, folks, we should not be so easily offended. We should not be so easily caught aside and ready to turn in our day of adversity. The scripture says when that day of adversity comes, if we turn, our strength is small. That means we need to help others as well. You see, again, the sheep, almost everything about it, is about others. It's about what it can do for others. You see, wool is desirable for its ability to felt. It's tear resistant. You know, Christians need to be strong in this day. We need to be somewhat tear resistant. We need to be able to handle some things and be able to stand up. Listen, Paul actually said that we're to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. We're to be able to endure some hardness. Well, let me give you one more. Go to Romans chapter 15. The reason wool has a good value to it is because wool is very receptive to dye. In other words, it's receptive to coloring or change. I want you to look at Romans 15, if you would please. Romans 15 and verse number 7. Romans 15 and verse number 7. This is what it says. Wherefore receive you one another, Paul says, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. You know, one of the great commodities of a believer ought to be able to help people and accept people where they are in their growth, in their level of faith, where they are in their Christianity. Folks, everybody's not going to be on the same level of faith that you're on. They're not going to be at the same level of growth that you are. There may be some things that they haven't reached a place of conviction about. There's some things that they may not have reached a place in their life that they've grown to. We need to be able to help them and accept them in the process so that they can grow. Hey, folks, we're in the business of trying to get people in and help grow them, not throw them out to the wolves. We got to help them in the growing process. Wool is very receptive to dye. Well, the wool of sheep, church, has multiple variables that can be of great use to so many others. But wool is a cash product that needs to be given so that others can be clothed and insulated and help them reach the tear-resistant process. Now, let me finish up and say this. There is some wisdom in shearing. Remember I told you that many are sheared for health reasons. They're sheared for social reasons. They're sheared for reproductive reasons. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here and I'll be done. There is a time to shear for the safety of the sheep. In other words, there's a time to shear and there's a time not to shear. You say, where are you going with this, preacher? I'm saying that not everything deserves capital punishment. All right? There are things that do not deserve capital punishment. That, mamas and daddies, with your children, there are certain things that require corporal punishment in your home. There are certain things your children do that do not require corporal punishment in your home. And you've got to be able to know what the difference is. And by the way, once you lay the law down, you better apply the law. Once you set the guidelines, you better follow through with the guidelines. What I'm saying is there's a time to shear sheep and a time not to for the safety of the sheep. Listen, farmers don't just shear sheep for the sake of shearing because, folks, it's hard work. It's hard work to get it done. It's time consuming. And can I say that sometimes when the shepherd has to stand up, his veins pop out his neck, eyeballs poke out of his head, steam coming out his ears. Can I say, he's not mad at anybody. He's just saying, you know what? There's some shearing that needs to take place. And sometimes if that shearing doesn't take place, the sheep become an unhealthy flock. But I'll say this to you, there's a time to shear and there's a time not to. And can I stop and just say, give you a pet peeve? The time to shear, and by the way, if we need to correct somebody, let's correct them in private. Okay? The public forum of the church is not the place to correct somebody and humiliate somebody. Okay? There's a time to do it. And that's the reason, mamas and daddies, you better be careful. You say, well, I don't give a flip what they think. My kid needs a whooping, I'm giving to the store. Okay. Call me when you need me. Okay? You gotta be wise about this. Okay? You gotta be smart about this. There's a time to shear and a time not to. And many times when the shearing time takes place, normally it's a warm time. Because when you shear the wool off a sheep, ain't much left. I mean, that's kind of his protective agent. It's kind of his warmth. That's kind of his insulator, see. Let me give you something else to think about. Sheep are to be ministered to closely after shearing. You know, the farmers say that when they shear sheep, they watch them. They keep an eye on them to make sure that there's no problems and faults, to make sure the shearing process went right. You see, if shearing has to be done in the winter for the health of the sheep, then the shepherd better provide some warm climate, some warm building, some warm area for that sheep to recuperate. Because if you take its wool from it in a cold environment, it can freeze to death because you've taken away its insulation. You've taken away its protection from it. Now, that's what I'm saying. Listen, it's important that when the shearing process has to take place and correction has to come, it's the shepherd's job to make sure that there's close ministering to the sheep or a group of sheep where the shearing has to take place. That means a shepherd ought to stay in contact with them. and let them know, listen, I had to do some shearing, but I love you. Hey, you know what? When the farmer shears a sheep, he doesn't go, ha, 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 ha. No, you know what he's doing? He's doing that because he knows that's part of the job. He knows that that's what he's got to do, and it's for the benefit of the sheep. Sheep are to be ministered to closely after shearing. Let me give you something else to think about. Shearing should only be done by those who know how. Shearing should only be done by those who know how. I went to a place, not in person, I went to a site, and it shows you how to shear sheep properly. And it shows you what a sheep's supposed to look about like if it's done properly. And then they show you another picture of a sheep done by someone who didn't know what they were doing. And that sheep, bless his heart, if it has a soul, man, somebody didn't know what they were doing. And they used an electric razor to do that thing. And I mean, just gouged that poor sheep like crazy, man. Now listen, here's what happens. When someone shears sheep that don't know how to shear sheep, and they gouge them and stuff, they get open wounds which are open for infections. They do more injury to the sheep than they do the benefit of it. So shearing should only be done by those who know how. Listen, those who attempt to shear without experience and the proper tools can do the sheep damage by cutting them, shearing them too close, breaking something. When you have resistant sheep, you know, not every sheep just says, okay, and lays down and says, okay, get to shearing. You know, some of them are resistant to the shearing. And so you got to know how to handle that. Can I say in the spiritual application of this church that the shearing process needs to be taken place by those who know how and those who have done a little bit of shearing in the past? And understand how the process works. You see, part of the shearing tools in Christianity is you're going to have to do some shearing with your Bible. And if you don't know what you're talking about, if you don't know of what the scriptures and the application, you probably shouldn't be doing any shearing. But you know where the greatest shearing comes, I found? It comes on your knees. In prayer. Getting a hold of God for somebody. You know, I've been around long enough now to where I understand people a little bit more, and I understand there's a certain place that you can push people. And when you're dealing with somebody, you got to know when that stopping point is so that you don't push them too far where you don't have an open door the next time that you go back. You see, shearing should only be done by those who know how. And then let me say one last thing here. And this was something I learned. Didn't know this. Good, and I said good farmers, before the shearing takes place, they actually cause the sheep to fast. They don't allow them to eat several days prior to the shearing. I'm not going to go into the details of why they do that, but there is a reason that they do that. All right? They allow the sheep to go through a fasting process. Now, think about this in a spiritual context. Doesn't it make more sense if there has to be some shearing done, or there has to be some correction done, or there has to be some interaction between a brother, two brothers, or two sisters in Christ that may have a disagreement? Have you ever thought about fasting and praying before you confront each other? You say, what does that do? Well, first of all, it gets God involved. And if God's involved, you know, there's probably a good chance this thing could turn out really good. But if God's not involved, and there hasn't been any fasting and prayer, well, see me after church and I'll tell you what happens. When sheep get their bellies full prior to shearing, it can be awful ugly. You say, what's the application, preacher? When two people have a difference with one another and they approach it outside the authority of God, it can get really messy. It can get downright dirty is what it can get. You see, farmers have a little bit of sense. What they do is they pin those sheep up and they don't feed them for several days so that they empty themselves so that when the process of shearing comes, they handle it much, much better. They say there's less rebellion, there's less resistance. And you know what? The farmer walks away fairly clean. Now, all I want to say, church, is just simply this. The reason they do that is because during the shearing process, there's a degree of stress that's involved. The shepherd doesn't like it, and the sheep don't like it. But sometimes it has to be done. The second thing is that emptiness causes less pain and emotional pain. Because shearing can be an upsetting process. The sheep don't like it. It's work for the shepherd. But I'm saying here tonight to you, church, it's necessary. You see, that wool is a very, very expensive commodity that sheep have to offer. And guess what you as a believer have? You have some wonderful commodities. And your wool and those things that you have to offer people, friendship, hospitality, restoration, these are things you have to offer people. It's one of the most valuable commodities that you have. And if we're not practicing that, I wonder if the world thinks we're sheep or if they think we're goats. Big difference. You know what? I wanted to see that we claim to be sheep through Jesus Christ, and sheep ought to practice what sheep ought to practice. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking. Nobody looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Would you slip your hand way up high? Said, I've been born into the family.